can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, 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 Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join Jordan, Keith, and Mariano as the trio dissects what's latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Review Podcast. Today we are going to talk to you guys a little bit about the letdowns and surprises of the summer. I am Shane Northrup and I will be your guide through this episode. Up first, Jordan, Keith, and Mariano talk to you guys a little bit about the movie Nine Lives.
So let's start off with the box office movie Nine Lives, starring Kevin Spacey. Like I said, Jennifer Garner plays his wife, Christopher Walken's Mr. Perkins, and his cute daughter is played by Melina Weissman.
Has she done anything before, or is this her breakout role?
She is known for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she played young Supergirl in the TV series, you know, before she got bigger and became, you know, Supergirl full on.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but so I thought she was great in this film. I liked her chemistry with Kevin Spacey and with Jennifer Garner. Nine Lives. So let's get to this film.
This movie was awful.
Yeah.
So it's directed Kevin Spacey.
Directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who is also known for.
Did you say Seinfeld?
Barry Sonnenfeld or Sonnenfeld.
Sonnenfeld. Okay.
Yeah. He's been around for a little bit. You know, he's done his thing. He
directed Men in Black and
yes,
yeah, Men in Black.
He directed, was it all three Men in Blacks?
Sure.
Stop it. No. So yeah, Men in Black, Men in Black 2.
Okay.
Wild Wild West, Get Shorty. Yeah, those are the films that he's done. He's produced a lot of films, actually. Let's see, Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he did do all three Men in Black, looks like. He did Men in Black 3. Yes.
I was right all along, yeah. This guy, he's got credentials. He's done the Men in Blacks, and this is Nine Lives. Kevin Spacey in this movie is this all business, has no time for anybody, you know, basically a guy that needs to learn a lesson in something. And he does that by getting turned into a cat that's half CGI and just half regular cat at points. So he becomes a cat so he can learn to be a better family man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you think, Mariano?
I didn't like the movie too much.
This movie was so bad.
It was so bad.
This was pretty bad.
It
was one of the worst movies we've watched. Like, here.
I agree, and especially considering the act, Jennifer Garner, Kevin Spacey, Christopher Walken, I expected so much more. Actually, I didn't because this movie looked bad, but what I'm trying to say is these actors can produce.
No, yeah, their potential. Like,
exactly.
But I know what you mean. Like, when you think of like Jennifer Garner, you think, oh, this is going to be a great movie, you know? Or in any of the people, Christopher Walken, like, oh, all right, I've got a good feeling about this. But with this movie in particular, oh, my gosh. Like,
I mean, just what is the point? So he.
Reminded me of the Shaggy Dog with him. What's his name?
Tim Allen?
Tim Allen. There we go. And I saw a trailer of it, and I was like, oh, this is
Shaggy Dog PA, yeah.
Well, it was just weird to me because it's like, wait, so you don't spend enough time with your family, so you're going to be turned into a cat?
Because he hates cats. That's exactly. The big part. That's the joke. It's
exactly.
So funny.
But then the cat puns, I couldn't deal with it.
I hated the cat puns. I felt like they went out of their way to give the cat puns.
Yeah.
There was this one scene in the movie where they make a joke about a cat scan. And they did it with like this whole like smile kind of thing, as if they were waiting for the audience to start laughing, you know, like cat scan, get it, guys.
I thought the movie was cute. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It's a family film. Oh yeah, I didn't have a problem with it at all. I thought it was a cute little movie. I enjoyed Kevin Spacey's his chemistry with his daughter.
I love the fact that this movie just consisted of him complaining about being a cat the entire time. Like, how am I going to do that? I don't have hands.
Like,
how am I going to do that? I don't have ears. And, you know, like human ears. And then he talks to – it's weird because when he does these monologues of, I don't know how I'm going to sit in this chair as a cat, everybody – like all the people around him, the people that are, you know, actual people – they kind of like stop talking for a second to give him a chance to say something. And then as soon as he's done saying, ah, being a cat sucks, it goes back to them, you know, their normal conversation. And like that also really annoyed
me. Like I said, I thought the film was fine. It was a cute little family film. I enjoyed it. It was cute. I liked the chemistry between Kevin Spacey and Melina Weissman. So, and Jennifer Garner did a good job too. So it's cool. I wasn't looking for an Academy Award. I was looking to be entertained, and I was. But once again, I like Christopher Walken too, so I thought he was great. I enjoyed the film. And Mark Consuelos, who is also the famous husband to Kelly Ripa from Kelly and Mike, Regis and Kelly. That's her hubby. He did a great job playing the bad guy. I thought he was good. So yeah, I thought it was a fun film.
Is it just me, or was it Tim Allen and the Shaggy Dog, but with a cat?
Well, you do understand that that's a remake, too. So the,
yeah, but
the
even
Shaggy
then,
Dog
we,
remake.
And not that I'm saying that the Shaggy
so
Dog was a good
that,
movie.
It's just like, I'm just letting you know that that's a remake as well.
I'm aware, and I didn't like the Shaggy Dog, but now we can say that this is a remake of a remake of a remake at this point.
Well,
and it
I mean,
do.
But you knew that going into it. So
yeah,
no,
I knew I wasn't going to like it. And I,
well, I mean,
expectations
met. Well, you don't want to have preconceived you know, notions when you go see a film, but that's fine. But yeah, I thought it was a fun film. So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was cute. Like I said, but if it wasn't for Melina Weissman playing his daughter, I probably wouldn't have liked the film. She was great. I think she's going to be a nice, great future star. Like I said, I really enjoyed her role. I thought Robbie Amell did a great job playing the son who was misunderstood, who was hardworking, who needed a chance to shine. So, like I said, there are things about the film that I did like. Like I said, it was a family film. I wasn't looking for an Academy Award. I was looking to be entertained, and I was.
I wasn't, though.
That's fine.
It was a little too much for me. The digital cat, like in slow motion scenes when, you know, the...
I didn't even notice
It's kind of like they're like hoping...
I didn't even notice the CGI. I didn't even notice. I hardly ever do.
And he's all like obsessed over cereal. It's just weird to me.
Okay. He was meowing, and when he meowed, his mouth didn't move with it. And at some point, like in the early part of the movie, they kind of touched on about like the possibility of the dead going to the cats and this weird like theory. But they left that alone, like the rest of the movie. Like they kind of like presented these questions, like
no, actually, they
what
didn't,
happens?
Because towards the end, you know, he goes back to the shop.
But yeah,
you know?
and the cats
are talking to him.
Yeah.
But even then, they were saying like they kind of asked this question, like, do the souls of people inhabit the bodies of cats? And that's not something that they really. Like after death, and that's not something they really kind of touched on beyond the fact that they put on that.
They did touch on that.
Well, no, because he was talking to the cats, but the cats were always cats. It wasn't like they used to be.
You might have to watch it again.
I am telling you.
No, they did touch on that. You were, yeah.
What do you think, Mariotto?
So you guys don't like the film. Okay, so.
No.
All right, so what's your rating for it? That's fine. What's your rating for it?
2.5.
Let me give it a 2.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 7. So.
So you say that this movie was nearly as good as Suicide Squad. It was just
fun. It was a fun little film. Like I said, it was a cute family film. If it wasn't for the daughter, I wouldn't have enjoyed the movie. The daughter, the cat, Kevin Spacey, all that made for a good film for me. I enjoyed it. And then some of the things the cat did when he saw his ex-wife, I enjoyed that too. So, you know, like I said, it was a fun film.
And we are coming up on a break. But when we get back, Jordan, Keith, and Mariano talk to you guys about a pleasant surprise from this summer, Ghostbusters. So stick around.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Golden State Media. We just talked about The Infiltrator and basically talked about great Bryan Cranston and John Leguizamo were for 10 minutes.
Guzamo.
Thank you. Sorry. it's a tongue twister when you say it so fast. But right now we're going to be talking about The Amazing Ghostbusters.
Right. The remake.
Yes. The reboot. Yes. Yes.
So do you want to...
Do you want to do that?
I was going to do the premise first.
Huh? You want to do the premise
You
first?
Want to do premise and then we do acting?
Yes.
I'll let Captain Keith do the premise.
Okay.
I'll wait for a second.
So, well, Ghostbusters basically, so this is a reboot. You know, this is a remake of an original. So in this film, it's about four different ladies. Two of them, Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, their characters are scientists. And Kristen Wiig is, you know, she's trying to be taken seriously as a teacher and a scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote this book with Melissa McCarthy about, you know, the paranormal life and activity. And she's been trying to downplay it. And Melissa McCarthy's character is proud of it, and she's embracing it. And she's still chasing her dream about, you know, paranormal activity and, you know, being an accredited scholar in that regard. And basically, they run into each other.
It's kind of like Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. Yeah.
So they haven't seen each other in a while. And a chain of events happens where Kristen Wiig's character, basically, you know, Erin Gilbert, that's the name of her character, has become a skeptic, a non-believer after writing that book. She just wants to leave it all behind. And Melissa McCarthy's like, you basically kind of sold out. And then, you know, when she goes to visit Melissa, because the book resurfaces that they wrote together, she runs into Melissa's character. And who was Abby Yates, and her new partner, who was played by Kate McKinnon, was Julian Holtzman, and they find out that there's a museum that is haunted, apparently. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Erin Gilbert, you know, Kristen Wiig's character is like, this isn't real, but I'll go with you,
right?
You know?
Like Bill Murray did in the
right, exactly. So. You know, of course, needless to say, you guys can figure out the rest.
Yeah.
You know, the ghost was real. And it just parlays into, you know, a whole new adventure for them. And it just reopens back up that world, and it revalidates the book that they wrote. And it's just interesting. I mean, it was, yeah, so that's the premise. If you guys want to add anything, let me know.
But. Let me just add this to it. This is not about the premise. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that a lot of people, were salty about the movie because they thought that it was like a political statement out of spite that like women can redo the Ghostbusters, you know?
Okay.
And they thought it was like just like an unnecessary kind of an unnecessary like feminist movement, you know?
Yeah.
Which, not that there's anything against it, but a lot of people were like, there's nothing wrong with it, but do you really need to do it just to make a point type thing, you know?
I don't think the film was made.
It wasn't.
To make a point.
Well, my point is, I found out that it wasn't that. It turns out that it was going to be Ghostbusters Part 3 with a totally different plot, different director. The one who directed the first two and produced the first one, and he kept in his contract creative control, a lot of creative control, and that included selection or at least approval of the director, and he wanted to direct it, and Sony didn't want to let him direct. So there was this big old thing going on, and they turned out, you know, getting him to give up the rights for it, and then they chose the director whose name was he did the
Paul Feig,
right? He did the Heat and
look at you, all right,
yeah, see,
I'll keep up in here,
yeah, exactly, yeah. But he chose,
yeah, he did Spy, he did
exactly
the Heat.
Spy and the Heat, yeah, and it was Melissa McCarthy, right? And mm-hmm. he chose those two actresses,
yeah,
and then, you know, the other two kind of fell into place, and with the actresses,
Leslie Jones,
exactly,
and Kate McKinnon,
but mm-hmm. he also got some creative control, and that's how they just kind of rebooted the story. So it went from Ghostbusters 3 to just a Ghostbusters reboot, and without that, like, without that unnecessary political agenda, mm-hmm. I was just like at ease, and I loved. Well, maybe not love. I liked the movie. It was funny. It was good.
I liked it too. Now, when I saw the trailer, I didn't have any issue about it being all female cast.
No, me neither.
When you do a reboot, it you know, it's fair game for the most part.
Me neither. There's nothing wrong.
Ghostbusters 3 would have been a disaster because Harold Ramis, rest in peace, is gone.
Right.
So it only would have been three of them, the original members.
Well,
the fourth one is deceased.
Not that it matters now, but it wasn't going to be the originals. It was going to be them training the new people.
That could have been fun, but this is cool. Yeah. This is a whole new franchise.
Oh, yeah, let me be clear. I have no problem with the all-female cast. I know. If it was out of spite, if it were to be out of spite,
right.
I'd be like, really? You know? But it wasn't. And so, therefore, I loved – and these girls are funny. They did a good job.
They did a great job.
Right? And then Chris Hemsworth was funny because he was so
dumb. I had issues with his role.
Ghostbusters. It's joking, you know?
Yeah.
And like, to kind of freshen up, I watched the original, like, just yesterday. And, you know, and it's all ditzy.
And I wish I would have done the same thing and I didn't.
It's all good. And, you know, and their receptionist was that, you know, the girl that really talks like this. Yeah. And I'll have to put you through. Yeah. And so they did a good job with, like, everybody was a character. And considering how much better, like, the CGI and things are these days, it was a good movie. Like,
It was great. I wish I would have done
it. I think
like
it was
did.
Good on its own. I actually really loved it. I loved it more than I thought I was going to like it, and I wanted to like it. Almost out of spite because I thought it was ridiculous how much people were making a big deal out of a movie.
People were.
But beyond that, when I watched it, I think there are a lot of parts I enjoyed more than the original Ghostbusters.
Me too. I agree.
And that's a big controversial statement. But
some
you know what?
I
loved I loved Chris Hemsworth's character in it.
I didn't.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was funny. And I loved the things like that. I liked that they didn't just make an exact copy. It was a reboot and it was its own twist. And beyond just having four female actors instead of male, they did so much with the movie and they made it just a really fun thing to watch. And they made it very satisfying after it was over. Like, I could watch that again. I would pay money to watch that again.
His character was the only thing I didn't like about the film.
What about him didn't you like?
I just felt like it was just
like
heavy-handed.
Oh.
Because they made him this good-looking, blonde, dumb guy.
Yeah.
That was a bit too much.
You see what I mean? So, how the political...
Yeah, I didn't care for that. Because if that was a female character, you know, that would raked right over the coals. So I didn't care for that part of the film.
I mean,
he also made fun of himself to an extent, so some of that was fun, but some of it got a little too heavy-handed for me. Otherwise, I enjoyed the film.
I disagree. I thought that Chris Hemsworth's character was a lot of fun, and I mean...
Can I propose to you this idea?
It was too heavy-handed. I mean, I don't want to see any secretary, female or male, be that stupid. I just don't.
Can I propose to you this idea, though?
I don't.
I think Chris Hemsworth himself probably had a lot of fun, because I love when a big... He's Thor. You know, I love when a big... name in Hollywood has no problem being that guy, you know? So I think they did it like...
Some of it, he did. I like the pictures and stuff.
Right.
That was fun.
Like, I think the
but
intention...
the other stuff was a little bit much.
Again, I just go by, like, intention. If the intention was innocent, I loved it. It was funny. I can see where people could have a problem, but I can also see the funny in having a really ditzy male secretary, because it's such, like, a role switch, you know?
And so, you know what? You said that you don't want to see that with people, and I'm sorry, but... I think with Chris Hemsworth, what was really interesting is you don't often see the big macho male being and a good guy. You can't see that with women. It's still a sexist thing, but that's not something that always happens. And it was fun when it did happen because he wasn't a villain and he wasn't a stupid villain. He was an idiot, but he was a lovable, fun idiot. It was just kind of like any cartoon where you see the companion. He was just being the faithful sidekick.
Yeah, I disagree. There's no such thing as being a lovable, fun idiot. That's just kind of an oxymoron.
I have a question.
I'm Donkey from Shrek.
There's issues with that, too.
Yeah, because...
That's a whole other conversation. Don't get me started. Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. But
I can see that more than Chris.
I have a question for you guys.
I think they're both insulting, but that's fine. Uh-huh.
This has nothing to do with Chris Hemsworth. How did you guys feel? Because I did a lot of research on these movies, and this one thing I saw was that – do you notice the ghosts from the OG Ghostbusters?
Yeah, Slimer.
But there was another one too. I'm not going to give it away. But did you like or dislike or did it matter to you the fact that they weren't like – they were not kind of brought up as cameos – they were just a new ghost in this like universe, you know?
Well, I guess I
can't remember.
There were
so
cameos like
again.
Bill Murray. There were cameos about, everywhere from old actors.
Right. But
they weren't the same. Nothing was the same.
Exactly.
It was as if that
that never happened.
Never existed.
Exactly.
It was just a slight little wink and nod.
So. Right.
Yeah. So, but there were some great cameos.
Because like I loved how Creed, remember Creed? Rocky was Rocky, but he was a different person.
Sure.
That was great, you know?
Sure.
So I kind of didn't like that they threw these guys in, and you're like, oh, look, it's him. But it's not him, you know? It's another.
Uh-huh. That was something you had a problem with?
Yeah, that was. I mean, not like a huge problem. I liked it.
I think it really further separated the universes that these two movies came out of, and it allowed this one to be something more original and be its own thing. When you just show that Bill Murray wasn't Bill Murray the Ghostbuster, you show that Slimer wasn't this lovable, you know, Slimer, you get to kind of see that this is its own world, and it has room to grow and be its own thing beyond the shadow of an 80s amazing movie. It can be its own great movie.
Andy Garcia was great as the mayor. I mean, there was lots of fun things about it. So, I mean, like I said, I recommend the film. That was the only issue I had. It was Chris Hemsworth's character. But otherwise, I did enjoy the film. I enjoyed the chemistry between Leslie Jones, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Melissa McCarthy. They were great together. They did a good job. So it was a lot of fun. It's a great reboot. It's a good. It's it's nice.
It's a lot
to see.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm glad they brought the franchise back. I look forward to seeing where they go next. And I definitely would encourage people, when you watch this movie, don't leave until the last credit. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are coming up on a break. When we get back, the trio are going to talk to you guys a little bit about something that they all completely despised. Stick around. You're not going to want to miss this one.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Speaking of temperature and hell, a new movie we're reviewing today is going to be Ice Age and Hardcore Henry.
There you go. Yeah.
You guys want to start off with Ice Age?
Yeah, Ice Age Collision Course.
Did that feel good? Was that
yes,
a nice
I like that. Yeah, speaking of hell and temperature, that was good.
All right. Sounds good.
There you go.
Cool.
The full Jordan. There you go.
So there we go. Our first movie, we're going to do Ice Age.
Yes.
And then our second, the DVD release of Hardcore Henry. You guys may know that from the video game looking thing that's not a video game.
Exactly.
Turns out it's actually a movie. So we're going to review it because that's like our whole biz.
Yes.
And Keith, you want to take it away with that Ice Age?
Yes. So Ice Age is directed by Galen T. Chu and Mike Thurmeyer. So, and Galen, or Galen, G-A-L-E-N. So,
if you pronounce just one of those names right, I feel like our viewers are going to be really impressed.
Hey, man, that's what I'm saying. He directed Ice Age, the original, Horton Hears a Who, Ice Age the Meltdown. So, you know. And then Mike directed also Ice Age Continental Drift, Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and the original Ice Age as well. So these two guys got together and made this new film. And where do I start? So, like I said before, to my colleagues here, this is my first Ice Age film I ever watched, actually. So I saw it in the theater, and I'm glad that I did. So you know how they have that squirrel that's always mm-hmm. getting into trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I found that so annoying.
Before you've seen the movies, but you're aware of the squirrel. And
well, because of the commercials and the different trailers and stuff.
Yeah,
well,
and he's been in shorts and little random things. He's kind of
he's in the
he
other
was like
ones
Fox's
too.
Mascot for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So... maybe he starts all the movies. I don't know.
Yeah, he's in all of them. Movies. He's okay. Constantly chasing an acorn.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, after like five movies of that,
I felt like I was watching the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. You know, but once I got past him and what he was doing, and we got to the actual animals, you know, and their lives, the woolly mammoths and gang. I enjoyed the film. It was fun. I just wanted more of that. It's interesting to see, you know, Manny and his wife, their daughter Peaches, is all grown up now, and she's got a new boyfriend. And of course, the dad is just not really feeling it.
I like the name Peaches for.
I know, right? I like that too.
Wasn't that also cute. In what was that? Fundamentals of Caring. Wasn't her name was Peaches?
Her name
as
was.
Well?
Her name was.
It was Peaches, wasn't it? The pregnant girl.
Oh yeah, her name was Peaches.
Yeah.
So Peaches just is a good name, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good omen.
Yeah, it's a cute little name, but yeah. So, watching this film, it was fun. It was entertaining. Like I said, I enjoyed, you know, watching all the other animals interact with each other and what was going on with them, and you know, the collision. This movie's called Collision Course because it looks like something's coming towards the Earth that's going to wipe them all out, you know, like what allegedly really happened in on Earth with dinosaurs and woolly mammoths in real life, apparently. So, yeah, that was it was cool. I mean, you know who stole the show for me was John Leguizamo's character as the Sloth.
Oh yeah, he's been in it since the beginning too.
Yeah, he was very funny. I was really he had me cracking up.
I don't know if it's the fact that I've seen this movie. You know, this is like the 5th or 10th or 19th Ice Age there is. Or the fact that, you know, it's just been going for so long and it kind of feels like a one trick pony at this. You know, where it's the same characters doing the same thing.
Right.
I went in thinking I wasn't gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it.
Okay.
But
I thought you were gonna tell me I liked it.
But I
Jordan's like, no, I didn't like it.
I liked it more than I thought I was.
Okay.
But I still didn't like it. Like,
oh, well, there it is.
There wasn't enough, like, you know, on that side of the scale to really push my answer up to anything other than I really wish we didn't watch it.
Got on my nerves.
It got a lot of parts got on my nerves. A lot of characters were just annoying.
Some of them I didn't like either.
And I really liked John Leguizamo. I'd be willing to look past as like
he was great as Sid.
I mean, Marianne, I want to hear what you think about it.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. I'm about to say, like, John Leguizamo, I like him in so many things. This wasn't a thing that I like him in.
Okay.
I remember seeing this as a kid, the first one, and I remember, you know, liking the movie back then, but as I went back and I watched it, it kind of reminded me it's all the same stuff. It's they changed a few things. It's almost like a Mad Lib where they're like,
really
replace the problem here. It's just animals constantly trying to avoid extinction.
True. And we are really talking about like a woolly mammoth, a saber-toothed tiger, and some other animals trying to stop meteors.
And, you know, the suspension of belief, I'm all about it for these kind of movies. But
I normally am too, but really, like, that was a...
This is supposed to be a kid's film.
I was just about to say, I even took that into account. Like, I know it's a kid's film. And,
right.
But there are so many better kid's films. Like, this movie...
You think it's like the worst kid's film we've done already at this point?
I feel like we should go...
I'm sorry.
And throughout reviewing movies from now on, I would be careful to get these kind of movies that are very exclusively like, like when you see Zootopia, there are people in their 20s, 30s that kind of want to check out the movie. I don't think this is one of those movies where anybody beyond having children would go see.
But I think
sure, but it's important that we see this movie. And
well,
talk
not even
about
just
it,
that,
though,
but you know? I think that it's important that we do because a lot of children's movies are good.
Yeah,
Toy Story is a children's movie. I love that movie.
And I'm still Secret Life of Pets is my jam, and BFG.
I loved Secret
BFG,
Life of Pets,
The Lion King.
Ricky, my homeboy Ricky.
Even more children-y.
I'm in the studio right now, so.
Even more children-y type movies like Thumbelina, I liked. You know?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
it's
open
good.
To it.
Or The Black Cauldron. Like, there are a lot of children's movies that I enjoy. Right. But
so this is a franchise, and maybe it's gone on for too long. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, this movie.
It's my first one. Jordan says he's seen the other ones.
I've seen the first one.
Right.
So I've seen never, the first one. Right. I think I've seen the second one.
So,
but I can tell you, you really only need to see like two of those to kind of get the pattern that's going
I did through. Enjoy hearing the different celebrity voices that I recognized. I did enjoy that. I didn't know that Queen Latifah was a part of this, playing Manny's wife. I enjoyed hearing her voice. You know, I enjoyed hearing J-Lo's voice. I mean, like I said, so I was pleasantly surprised by all the different voiceovers from the different characters.
It's a good cast. It's just the movie was so...
Yeah, okay. All right. So I think I liked it more than you guys did. I didn't love it, though. But okay. All right. That's fair. Wow.
It was just...
See, if you guys could see the look on Mariano's face, it's classic.
No, you look like... I'm feeling sick today, and you look like disgusted right now.
I'm not disgusted.
You look like you need the ginger ale and crackers I have more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not disgusted. It's a children's movie. So in a way, there's really no way to go wrong, but I just... A mammoth trying to find a way to stop meteors to me is just too much of a stretch.
Well... I can't say that you're wrong.
And not just that.
In kids' movies, you have to have that suspension of belief. Like, Big Friendly Giant,
there's
that silliness. But I think that if you're
at
least...
That's a good movie, though.
No, and that's my point I'm making. Film. Like, it's incredibly ridiculous, the idea of it. But still, like, I didn't judge it thinking, oh, you know, a giant, really? That's...
But that's the
but
thing is, that's the point
some
I...
layers to that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but that's the point I'm trying to make. I know that, like, in every children's movie, there's some suspension of belief. Like, the Brave Little Toaster was, you know,
or think of Beauty and the Beast. Everything is out there, but the difference is those are good movies.
It's how it's executed.
Exactly. And this movie, too, I take into consideration because I know you haven't seen the others. It's the same thing, only worse. Wow. And that, to me, is the wrong way to go for a movie. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I believe you guys. I mean, because like with BFG, you know, that was also a story about two outcasts. You know, so there was layers to that story.
Exactly.
Two people who were outsiders who
or E.T., you know, that one's way out there. But
exactly.
But it's a good movie and it's
so
heartfelt.
It's all about,
you know,
how it's executed. So, I mean, there was some fun moments in this film. But, yeah, the premise is pretty.
I'll put it this way. I'd be a lot easier on this movie if the first one was horrible like this one and this one was at least somewhat decent like the first one. Like if the trend was upward. Wait, I would have.
Is this the fourth one or how many movies?
This is the third one.
Okay.
And I would have felt better if the trend was going up. This is going down, and I don't like it.
So maybe it's time for this franchise to end. So
I would,
at this point,
I would say so.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that we can agree on that, right?
Okay. So I'm almost scared to ask you guys, what's your rating?
2. I'm genuinely sorry I saw this.
This
movie
is actually not the third Ice Age. I just want to clarify that.
Is it what, the fourth?
This is the fifth Ice Age.
See, I knew there was
it's
a lot
the
of
fifth,
them.
Yeah.
All right. So
and
yeah,
a six
yeah.
is
Thank
in
you.
The work, I think.
Yeah, so they need to maybe just let it go.
Well, you know, when you think of like franchises that last this long, you know, in movies, you really think of like a universe that's created around you, the things that are built around it. And you have other movies that, you know, They do this and they do that. They set out to what they accomplished, but they weren't trying to accomplish a lot. And those like this, where you're going to have some people that, you know, butts in the seats, but it's not going to really. I don't see this creating like a fan base or anything. Kind
well,
of like
you got to be careful too, because we've had 2 to 3 great children's films come out already this summer.
Yeah.
So if you understand that, then you need to be more competitive. And you need to write something that's good, like those films. Those films were good. Those films had great stories. They had good plots. They were written well. You can't just skate by on your name alone. You can try, and it works sometimes. But
you know what I mean, like with Toy Story. Now, Toy Story is one of those movies where you're not just watching this movie; you're watching Toy Story. You know, you're not watching Toy Story 2; you're still watching Toy Story. It's something where it's this universe, it's this franchise, and it has a lot of people that are passionate about it because it was amazing. This is still something that I think that it has enough movies where you'd think that this is something that's like a culture. But it just to me, it feels like just kind of a run and done thing.
It could
you
have
know?
Been a lot better than what
yeah.
it was. Go ahead.
Can I just make one quick point?
Sure.
And then we have to
we'll
get
to
break. Our break.
Yes, sir.
I think what makes a good children's movie, is it needs to be good for adults as well. And I'll explain why. Because what's the best part about like E.T. and those movies that we loved back then is that we can still love them today. They create that nostalgia. Like I don't think any children are gonna grow up, you know, 10 years from now. And go back and be like, I need to watch Ice Age. You know? And that's why it won't be a great movie.
Well, there it is.
Because no one's going to be like, whoa, do you remember that time that movie was so good? Let's watch it again. Oh, it's still good. This is an instant classic. They should reboot it. And like, those are the types of movies that are forgettable. You know?
Uh-huh.
It needs to have that mass appeal. And I know it's a children's movie, but all these other great movies were children's movies, but that the child can grow up still loving. It's almost like a weird comfort thing where like, wow, this movie is still good. You know, like the nostalgia factor, like Star Wars, the old ones, they're still good movies. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah, no, I feel like this 20 years from now, like you'll still know like Toy Story and even like, you know, if they keep doing it, How to Train Your Dragon, these things that they immerse yourself with it. This, I don't see this like, I feel like the you know, people knowing it, it's going to stop as soon as they stop making it.
So what's your ratings, fellas?
2.
And 2.
I'm going to give it like a 4.
This has been the Golden State Media Concepts biggest letdowns and surprises of the movie review podcast. If you like what you heard, you can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Golden State Media Concepts podcast.com. Thank you for listening.